and weary with the babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to carry your son. In a silent prayer, I am frightened by the load I bear. In a world as cold as stone, must I walk this path alone? Be have had my place, but I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong.
And this year, I had We had so many things going on that just about the last few, I guess, the last few weeks before Christmas, I got to think we need to get our candlelight service planned out, and it took me a little while to get around to talking a little more about it. And Barbara and I talked about it, and we figured what we would do is have our candlelight service, but have the congregation do the singing, and not have the choir as part of the congregation. But then, as you know, Miss Joyce Blinson slipped away on a Friday evening, and on a Sunday evening was our scheduled candlelight service. I would certainly have gotten to Kristen and invited her to come and sing that song again, but because of Miss Joyce's wake that evening, we canceled the service. But that is a beautiful song, and I appreciate her for sharing that with us today. And I'm glad she didn't forget about us. I don't think it would be right to get too far away from Christmas 2007 without sharing about the wise men. And for Jeanette to come this morning and to share briefly in the story of the wise men and their coming and bringing the gifts and asking that question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? That is an important and valuable story and a witness for Christians today. Because wise men, as you see on bumper stickers, as you see on billboards so many times, wise men still what? Seek him. Amen. Wise men still seek him. If you will, if you'll turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 2. We come to the biblical record of the wise men who came from the east to fall down before the baby Jesus in worship and then to present their special gifts. Beginning in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the faithfulness of the wise men who were on watch, Father, for that star, that scepter that would, indicating that scepter that would rise out of Jerusalem. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that came into this world, went to an old rugged cross, died there, poured his blood out there, that the doors of heaven might be opened again to those who receive that the understanding of what your precious Son did for us on that cross. Lord, this morning, if there's one here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that the Holy Spirit would move wonderfully and knock upon that heart's door, that that heart might be open to receive the blessings from on high. Father, bless your people this morning. You get praise, get honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. This morning, as we look at Matthew's recording of the birth of Christ, we will see that the experience of the wise men, even though they came to visit the Christ child sometime later after his birth, possibly 18 months to 2 years, is directly, that experience of the wise men is directly related to that same experience of the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem as recorded in the book of Luke. They both experienced light. The wise men saw the light, saw the star while they were in the east, and they began traveling west. And the shepherds also saw light, did they not? In fact, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Now, where did that light come down from? Came down from heaven. That glorious light came down from heaven. Jesus came into this world to bear the sins of all the world, to be the Savior of all the world, to be not only the glory of his people Israel, but also he came a light to lighten the Gentiles. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You know, what is the light of life? Well, the light of life, to me, is an understanding of who we are, where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. Many people in the world are still troubled about that. They don't know why they're here. They don't know what the purpose of their existence in this world is. But you and I, as Christians, we have that understanding. We have that light of understanding, and we also have the light of eternal salvation. Do we not? We know that God created us. We know that we're here to serve Him, to bring honor and glory to Him, and we know that when we leave this world, we're going home to be with Him. And that is a wonderful thing. That good news is exactly what makes life wonderful. It makes life I don't think anybody can begin living, truly living, until they understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them. And so Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In verse 1 it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen,'" past tense. I thought it was good that Jeanette pointed that out to the little folks. They saw this star in the east. They saw it, but when they started traveling toward Jerusalem, they weren't seeing the star. They weren't following a star as they would follow a star, a miraculous star that would lead them out of Jerusalem to Bethlehem. If they had been following a star, the star wouldn't have taken them to Jerusalem. It would have taken them where? To Bethlehem. But they saw that glorious star in the east, and they began their traveling toward Jerusalem. "We have seen his star in the east." That's what they say. They saw his star, but they were not seeing it at that moment. The star was not shining over them, or they would not be in Jerusalem. They would be in Bethlehem, worshiping the Christ child, the Lord Jesus. They are in Jerusalem because when they saw that great heavenly light in the east, they associated that peculiar star with the prophecies of Israel. In Numbers chapter 24 of the Old Testament, verse 17, the wayward prophet Balaam was moved by the Lord to prophesy the following. God moved upon this wayward prophet to prophesy this: "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter or a ruler shall rise out of Israel." This was a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah of Israel, the King of Israel, that would rule the world justly and bring everlasting peace. My goodness, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again and takes up his rulership over this world. I mean, he's the ruler in my heart. I trust that he's the ruler in your heart. He's the ruler in our homes. But my goodness, this world belongs to the devil. I mean, this is the Lord of this world is the devil. I mean, he's just having his way today. But that's only because God permits him at this time to have his way. But one of these days, God's going to put him down. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years on the face of this earth. And I'm looking forward to that. That could happen within 7 years, my friends. It could happen within 7 years. It could happen even within 3.5 years. The rapture of the church takes place and we get out of here. Or actually, the rapture of the church takes place and we go home to be with the Lord. And we sit around that homecoming. We have that homecoming meal there with Miss Joyce and J.C. Blinson and all of the others that have gone before us. What a rejoicing time that's going to be. And then after that, God will be coming back to set up his kingdom on this earth, and you and I will come with him. That could happen within the next 7 years. The wise men of the east remembered that the prophecy of Balaam. Though they were Gentiles, they believed the prophecy of Balaam and were anxiously watching for that star to shine forth. Today, the Israelites' national flag is the white field with a blue six-pointed star, the Star of David. Yet the Israelites still do not realize that that star has come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their Messiah has come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what that star is all about, on their own ensign, on their own flag. I want you to note four things about these wise men. These wise men are Gentiles, yet, one, they knew about the coming of the Israelite Messiah. Two, they were familiar with the Israelite scriptures. Three, they associated the bright and the miraculous light that they saw in the east with prophecy. And most importantly, they responded to the light. These wise men from the east were more noble than the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, because they believed God's word and looked anxiously toward the coming birth of Israel's Messiah. And God allowed that miraculous light to shine forth into the east, and the wise men not only saw the light, but they responded to the light. The shepherds of Israel, you'll remember, saw the light. The wise men saw the light, and yet how sad it is that there is no report that the priest saw the light. Martha and I, when we were reading the together the one of the Sunday school lessons, Martha says, "You know, isn't it surprising that this glorious light shone down around the shepherds, and yet nobody in Bethlehem saw that light other than the shepherds. Nobody saw that light except for the shepherds." And for this glorious star, this glorious, magnificent light to shine all the way into the east, and nobody else saw that except for the wise men. I'll tell you, if you're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're anxious to find the Lord Jesus Christ, look at His Word, seek His face, ask forgiveness for your sins, acknowledge who He is, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. The light's going to come through. God will bless you with the light of understanding of His Word, the light of understanding who the Lord Jesus Christ is. There's no report that the priests saw the light. There's no report that the scribes saw the light. And there's certainly no report that Herod saw any light, or that many in Jerusalem saw the light. In fact, the Bible teaches us that Jerusalem feared that report. When those wise men came in and reported that they had seen this star and they came to worship the newborn king, well, Jerusalem was in fear. Verse 3 says, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. These wise men were in town saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews?'" Herod was the king of the Jews by Roman appointment. And listen to this. "The Jews, even though they didn't consider Herod much of a king, nor care at all for the Roman domination, they certainly did not want to upset the status quo." You know, there it is. They didn't want to upset the status quo. As long as the economic traffic was carrying on, you know, as long as we're making dollars, as long as everybody's getting along, apparently, as long as our pockets are being padded, don't worry about religion. Don't worry about the things of the Lord. And so the Jews were perfectly satisfied that Herod was on the throne. They were not burdened so much with the Roman domination, even though they didn't care for it. As long as Herod was quiet, Jerusalem could pretty much do or go about their business in peace. And likewise, as long as Rome was quiet, Jerusalem was quiet as well. But now these strangers have come to town looking for a newborn king. Herod was paranoid about his kingship. A cruel and crafty snake in the grass, he married 9 times, he murdered one of his wives and 2 of his brother-in-laws because he thought they were plotting to take his throne. So when the wise men come looking for a newborn king, this was certainly something for Jerusalem to be troubled about. But there's another even more important reason for the people to be troubled about the report of the coming Christ child. If the report of their Messiah's coming was true, they weren't ready for His coming. They weren't ready for His coming. Let me ask you, are you ready for the Lord's coming today? Boy, when the Lord came, He came quickly. When the wise men showed up, my goodness, they showed up quickly. If the report of their Messiah's coming was true, the Israelites were not ready. And here is the most valid reason of all for fear to fall heavily upon Israel. They were not ready for the coming of their Savior. The Jews were highly religious people. They practiced their religion daily, but their hearts were far from God. In Matthew 15:8, Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah and says this, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Many people come to church on Sunday mornings and they sit in the pews and all, and they've done, they're where they know that they should be, but their heart is somewhere else, you know. The heart is at Golden Corral, or the heart is at what's going to be happening tomorrow at work. Your heart is far from the Lord. You are in God's house, but you're not in Jesus. So Jesus says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And the question, how far is our heart this morning from the Lord Jesus Christ? If we were to come, if Christ were to come today, would we be ready for His coming? Matthew 24:44. Jesus says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." In Matthew 25:13, Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." He could come today. If there was ever a more striking point to be made about the birth of Jesus Christ, it would have to be the unpreparedness of so many people for his coming. Yet these wise men were not caught off guard. They were watching for the star. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and which I will share more of this evening, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 6, speaking of the return of Christ to come, Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica and he says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." Verse 6, he says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." When is Christ coming for the Christian? In the Christian's heart and mind, when would Christ be coming? Today. Isn't that the way we ought to live? As though Christ is coming today. Many were not ready for the coming of Christ in Herod's day, and many will not be ready for the returning of Christ to come. The scripture says, "All Jerusalem was troubled when they heard the report of the wise men." The wise men asked the question, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Verse 4, "And when he had gathered," and Herod, "when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, And thou, thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Do you get that? Herod called the wise men together privately, and he said, "Gentlemen, tell me something. When did you see this star?" We must remember or keep in mind the fact that the wise men are now arriving at least 18 months or 2 years after the actual birth of Christ. They saw the star approximately 2 years earlier. How do we know that? What is it in the scriptures that tells us that or leads us to believe that? When Herod sent out his decree to destroy the little children, what age group did he begin with? 2 years old and down. The wise men had shared with him about 2 years ago, "We saw that star." And when they saw that star, when they saw that great light, they started toward Jerusalem. And so Herod sent out his decree to destroy all the children 2 years and below. Luke 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds." Here's what occurred 2 years prior to the arrival of the wise men. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." A glorious light shone down from heaven over the fields of Bethlehem the night that Christ was born. The shepherds were completely taken by surprise. And the Bible says it was the glory of the Lord. And I believe that same light of God's marvelous glory shining down on the shepherds was the same light that the wise men saw from the east almost 2 years before they arrived in Jerusalem. And they said, "We came to see the one that is born King of the Jews." And when Herod was satisfied with the wise men's report, the Bible says in verse 8, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and do what?" Yeah, that's not really what he had in mind, was it? This is a perfect example of the world's willful rebellion and foolish rejection of the Word of God today. Let me say that again. This is a perfect example of the world's willful rebellion and foolish rejection of the Word of God today. Herod has the testimony of the Scriptures. Herod has the testimony of the scribes and the priest. Herod has the testimony of the wise men, and yet his only response is not to worship the newborn king, but to destroy him. The world has been trying to drive the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob out of the hearts and minds of people for a millennium. People today may find the name of Jesus offensive. They may try to rid themselves of the testimony of the church and the powerful and convicting message of the gospel of Christ. But they will never rid themselves of the one day coming judgment wherein they will all kneel before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess him as Lord and Savior. Herod hated Christ and he had no intentions of worshiping that little babe. You know what's You know, something is that's really not accurate about that last statement. There are many people who are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to kneel before Him, and yet they're going to hear Him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you." They'll come to that place of a great white throne judgment when Christ will turn His face away from them. It's not that God has bent over backwards to get people's attention, to bring people into the kingdom of God. But if in fact you leave this world without any knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, without any commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's your destiny. That's your destiny. When Brother Bunk prayed this morning that people leaving this world will go out into an eternal hell, that, you know, today people are, many Christians are you know, sensitive about saying anything about a burning hell, but the Bible teaches it. And I appreciate Brother Bunk's boldness to preach it in his prayer. There is an eternal judgment, a burning hell that people will face, souls will face. But Herod hated Christ, and had no intentions of worshiping a so-called Lord Jesus. When they heard that the king, the wise men departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Now they see this star again, and I can prove to you that it was an exciting thing. I can prove to you that it was a surprise to them to be able to see this star again. Because look at what the scripture says. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. We're no longer talking about a little babe in a manger. We're talking about a young child. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Why? Because it had been a long time since they saw that star, and now they see that glorious light again. And when they were come into the house, not the manger, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Herod was not there when the wise men presented their gifts. The priests and the scribes were not there when the wise men presented their gifts. The people of Jerusalem were not there when the wise men presented their gifts. The wise men were there, and often seen on billboards or inscribed on Christian trinkets or printed on shirts is the truthful phrase, "Wise men still seek him." The priest and the scribes were religious, but they weren't very wise, were they? Herod was a king holding great authority, but he wasn't very wise. In Psalm 111, verse 10, the Bible says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Note the actions of the wise men. The wise men came to worship the newborn Messiah. Their heart was in the right place. The wise men were not ashamed to admit that was their true goal, to come and to worship Him. And that should be our goal as well. They had traveled a long way. Some won't travel around the block to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And they brought Him gifts. They brought Him gold. They brought Him frankincense. And they brought Him myrrh. The gold speaks of His birth. He's born a king. The frankincense speaks of the beauty and fragrance of His life. And the myrrh speaks of His death. It is a precious spice for the embalming process. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. The Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60 speaks to us of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is yet to come. And it speaks to us of the coming again of the Gentiles to worship King Jesus as He governs the world from Jerusalem. Verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee." You get that picture? There's a great light shining again over Israel. Verse 3 says, And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Gentile wise men and women are coming again from all over the world to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. All the nations of the earth shall be grafted in to the family of Abraham. Verse 6 says, The multitude of camels shall cover you. Do you remember what when the wise men came to Jerusalem, they came no doubt riding on camels, didn't they? I would believe that that's true. It says, The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Seba shall come. And note what they shall be bringing. Note here what these Gentiles are bringing. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. What is missing there? Myrrh. They're going to bring gold again. They're going to bring incense or frankincense, but they'll never have to bring myrrh again. They do not bring myrrh. Jesus will never have to be embalmed again. And this is the word of God, and this is the truth. If we're rejecting the word of God today, we have no reason to other than just complete rebellion to reject the good news of Jesus Christ, that He's coming again. He's coming again. Isaiah prophesied who would be coming in the Old Testament. Daniel in the Old Testament prophesied when the Lord Jesus would be coming. Micah in the Old Testament prophesied where the Lord Jesus would be coming. And Zechariah prophesied how He would be coming. And they all prophesied why He was coming. And if we're rejecting the Word of God today, when He comes, we will be caught completely by surprise. The wise men didn't reject the word of God. The shepherds certainly didn't reject the direction from the angels. Mary and Joseph didn't, and God showed them some great things. In Jeremiah 33:3, the Bible, God says this to you and to me. He says, Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Some people say, I just don't understand the Bible. I just don't understand what God's trying to tell me in the Bible. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is the precious gift that God has given you, to help you to understand and discern what the Bible is saying to you. But you will never understand the Bible until you make your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive that gift of eternal life, but also the gift of the Holy Spirit. God says, Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The Jews were not ready when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Very few were truly ready for His coming. Although many were aware of the prophecies of His coming, they were still caught completely by surprise when they heard the news. The question is, will you be ready when Christ comes again? When Jesus comes again, the Bible says He's going to come quickly. Matthew 24:27, For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What did the after the worship, after the wise men came and worshiped the Lord, did they go back to Herod? No, they didn't. They turned around, they went a different direction. They went back to the east. And they didn't tell Herod anything. So Herod was still in darkness. But let me tell you this, you've got the New Testament today that tells you more about the Lord Jesus Christ than Joseph or Mary or the wise men or any of the scribes ever had. And you are without excuse if the Lord Jesus come and catch you by surprise. Amen. Christians today ought to be looking up, even more so today than ever before. Every day we get one day closer to the rapture of the church. Are you ready? Are you ready to go? Your bags packed up? God's going to send out those angels, sweep across the face of this earth and catch us up. But He's going to be looking for lights. He's going to be looking for that light that's down there in your heart. Is it there? Is it burning brightly? When I was stationed aboard an aircraft carrier in the Pacific, one night we were doing what they call rearming. And the USS Nitro carrying heavy explosives, bombs and things pulled up alongside the carrier at night. Helicopters, two of them, going around the two ships in case somebody fell overboard. And our captain, Captain Schlack, made us, when we went up on the flight deck, made us carry these lights on our vest. The Navy didn't carry these lights. They didn't think it was necessary. They thought, you know, that they knew what they were doing. Captain Schlack told the Marines, you put this light on. If you fall overboard, you turn that light on. And that night, the USS Nitro pulled up alongside our ship, the carrier, and we began to unload bombs and so forth. And the Marines were up there doing their duty alongside the sides of the ship and the lifelines of the ship. And Corporal Morrison fell over the side. And when he fell over the side, he said it was the most terrible feeling. He said he went down into blackness, and he said he didn't think he was going to be coming up. But he said he came up, and as soon as he came up, he turned on that light, and that Chinook helicopter immediately hovered around over him, dropped down, and picked him up out of the water and brought him back to the ship, and he was safe. Let me tell you something. One of these days, the angels of the Lord are going to be sweeping over this world, and they're going to be looking for those lights, and they're going to be catching up all of those lights like that Chinook pulled Morrison out of the ocean. And I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be a rejoicing time, but it's going to be such a sad time if your light's not on. If your light's not on, are the angels going to see you? No, they're not. They're not. I hope you turn your light on. If you haven't turned it on yet, listen, today is the day of salvation. Today God's arms are outstretched to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The Bible says, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can we do that? Can we do that? I trust that you'll, if you haven't done that, you do that this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the testimony of the wise men, Father. We thank you for the testimony of the shepherds, Father, of Mary and Joseph, Father. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us these testimonies, Lord, that we might look back and see their faithfulness, Father, and apply that faithfulness too, Lord, to our own lives as we look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we expect to see your face any day. But if today you don't come, help us to be living as though tomorrow is the day. Father, help us to live to want to bear fruit for the kingdom of God, to bring others to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask your blessing upon these that have come this morning. Bless, Father, you get praise, get honor, and glory. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.